on this episode of Rev Hang.
And I'm sure the only reason he did... Yeah. What else would it be? Cocaine? Maybe they hate Antonelli.
Could be. Seems unlikely, but could be. It is a 200-lap race. Don't get this wrong this year, Ben. It's 500 miles.
500 laps.
I actually really enjoy this. This is my favorite oval to watch for, wow, Iowa. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rev Hang. I am Nathan, as always, and alongside me, again, as always, is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How's it going, Ben?
I want to buy a BMW.
He does want to buy a BMW. I don't know how I feel about that.
I'm going to bring it up so we can put a picture of it, of what I found. Is that allowed?
Putting Craigslist listings on...
I'm not actually sure.
Maybe you can just grab a picture of it.
We'll just grab a picture of it. That's allowed.
Yeah.
Not the listing
itself,
I'll
find it for you later. It's really cool. It's a 2001 BMW 540i with a 6-speed manual. And it's $5,000. I see very few reasons why I shouldn't spend $5,000 on a BMW.
From 2001.
Yeah, with the V8.
That looks a little worse for wear on the picture.
That's
given.
Just the snow.
And I'm sure the only reason...
Wasn't snow?
Yeah. What else would it be? Cocaine?
I thought it was like a metal, like bare metal. I was at work. I didn't.
Guys in Bend.
Fair.
He lives in the desert.
I didn't have a chance to look at it super closely, but
I'm sure there's a reason he didn't show any pictures of the interior.
Yeah.
Surely.
He said the interior.
He
great.
Said he was an old guy, so I trust him.
Okay.
Maybe he's just bad with technology.
Maybe. Anyway, this is not a used car podcast.
Oh, that would go so hard, though.
It would. And we're actually kind of there.
Kind of.
It is a car podcast. It's a racing podcast, though, so let's talk about some racing. We'll start with some paddock news. Franco Colapinto has replaced Jack Doohan at Alpine, officially.
Yep.
We hinted at this last episode, and literally 4 hours after the episode aired, the... announcement was made, so we were a little early on that one. But yep, Colapinto is officially racing for Alpine for the next, I don't know, 5 races is what they said.
Until the Argentina fans get him thrown out for disorderly conduct.
Yeah, I mean, they've already made a statement because Argentinian fans have been cyberbullying and harassing Jack Doohan and his family, so...
Leave Tsunoda alone.
Man, it's...
Close enough. Welcome back, Augustine Canapino.
Yeah. Those fans in Argentina are very passionate, and we'll leave it there.
Yeah.
Also, paddock news, we had some Indy 500 qualifying this weekend. We actually did get our predictions in time. Not on last episode, but we did get it on the website live before qualifying for once. First year in like 3 years we've done this. So we will talk about that a little bit later. But Joseph Newgarden and Will Power were fined $100,000 and are starting from the back in the Indy 500 due to not passing technical regulation testing.
$100,000 each.
Yes.
$100,000
each. I assume the team will pay the money. But
because they're the one who messed it up.
Of course. I don't know if... Newgarden and Power were aware. I don't know how you really wouldn't be, but maybe they weren't. But yeah, once again, Penske caught cheating.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
The only reason Scott McLaughlin didn't get caught with the attenuator is probably because he got in a crash.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
That legitimately saved his weekend.
Yeah, crashing and destroying his car saved his weekend, for real. Pretty crazy stuff. So they will be starting from the back. I thought Joseph Newgarden was a favorite to win this 500. Probably go for the three-peat. I still think there's a chance because, honestly, qualifying position does not matter in the 500.
I don't know.
Not nearly as much as any other race.
My personal graph of Newgarden's career is still on the solid, it's so over, downward trend.
Yeah, but that's what we've been saying for the past 2 years, and he keeps winning the 500 randomly.
That's fair.
So,
but never from 33rd.
Never from 33rd. That is true. We will see. And we'll talk about the Indy 500 qualifying a little bit later. For now, let's talk about the Indy GP, the Suncio Grand Prix at IMS. Very, very cool track. Of course, it is half of the Indy 500 oval plus... that's actually not the circuit that they raced on, the one we have in the picture here.
But, I was going to say, this doesn't look like the oval at all.
It's a variation of... well, no, I mean, because after turn 12, there's like a little infield part that they turn into.
Yeah, and they're like...
But not turn 13. Anyway, we've got the wrong picture of the circuit on here.
We have one of the configurations
on here. We're just nerding out a little bit.
You should have played it cool. They would never have known.
They would never have known. It's okay. Anyway, let's go into qualifying. Top 10 to give you context was Alex Palou, Graham Rahal, Lewis Foster, Lewis Foster, Scott McLaughlin, Devlin DeFrancesco in fifth. 6 through 10 were Newgarden, Power, Award, Rossi, and Simpson. Moving into the race, Graham Rahal passed Palou into turn one and maintained the lead for the first two thirds of the race. I thought it was going to happen. I thought we were going to have Graham Rahal winning his first race in like 5 years.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
No, did not happen. Award and Dixon flew through the field, making consistent passes. Dixon started in 16th and made his way all the way up to 5th by the end of the race.
Absolute recovery.
Yes. Graham Rahal destroyed his tires trying to keep Palou behind him. And it doesn't help that he was also on a far inferior strategy because his team was not used to leading the race. They fumbled the bag hard. Joseph Newgarden made his way up to 12th after a technical issue forced him to start at the back of the race. So, all right, yeah, back of the grid at the beginning of the race. Very good recovery from him.
Mm-hmm.
So, results, top 10 were Palou, Award, Power on the podium, followed by McLaughlin and Dixon. 6 through 10 were Rahal, Armstrong, Kirkwood, VK, and Rosenqvist. Talking points for this race. Rahal was so close. He had it in the bag until he didn't.
He got about as close as he probably could have, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he was on a pretty bad strategy compared to everyone else. He kind of fell like... a brick through the field after his tires went off.
Yeah, and even on a good strategy, trying to keep Palou, or really any Ganassi boy, behind is
that's a tall task.
That's a feat.
Yep. When you have Alex Palou pushing you for the entire... I mean, Palou wasn't even trying. He was just like, I'm going to sit back here until he messes up, and then that's what happened. So
pass on pit rotation if I have to, I don't care.
Pretty much. And then we talked about Newgarden had a good comeback drive, and then Colton Herta...
So sad.
Herta Bros not doing so well today.
It was quite bad. It started out pretty bad and then it got more bad.
Yep. Poor guy. He ended up a lap down or something. Well, he didn't finish, did he?
No.
No. What, do you have a technical problem? I forget.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. Herta is...
The worst part is, too, they kept showing the clips of him in 2022. Mm-hmm. During his like crazy drive and drifting and all that, and I was like, I was starting to get a little hyped up. I was like, yeah, he can do it again. He can do well.
Nope.
No.
Crash on lap 3. Instant pit. Instant pain. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Herta Bros in shambles.
Don't send my boy back to the pits. Not again. That's a Vietnam Don't make flashback. Him go there.
All right, so
it did give us the quote: "If Colton Herta didn't have bad luck, he'd have no luck at all."
Yeah, the classic Will Buxton line there.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't hear Will Buxton enough in F1 and in Drive to Survive, so now we get to hear him all the time in IndyCar.
I'm glad he's enjoying himself.
Yes, he's actually not a bad commentator.
I actually like him better in IndyCar because he's still like very like. His language is very, like, he says a lot of words.
Yes.
And he likes to over-describe things and say what's happening,
mm-hmm.
but not in, like, a narrator way, more in, like, in the yellow car of the man with the long brown hair and the black and white helmet, Colton Herta. And you're like, come on, dude.
He's crafty.
You can just say Colton Herta.
Crafty 3.0.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he's bad. I think it's actually pretty cool to watch him, especially this first year. I think will be very good because he's still new to the sport. He understands racing, and so he knows what he's talking about, But in terms of like the minor intricacies of the series, having him up there with James Hinchcliffe,
mm-hmm. who's so technical,
who absolutely knows everything about IndyCar, it's the perfect combo, I think, to where he's like, well, how does this little tiny thing work? And James can be like, oh, that's how this works.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, oh, well, that's why this is cool. So I think they got a good combo, solid combo up there in the announcer's box. But anyway, moving on to the standings for IndyCar, nothing much has changed. Kyle Kirkwood has moved back up into second in the championship behind Alex Palou. Christian Lagarde is down in third, and Pato O'Ward is in fourth. They are all within 3 points of each other, so very close for second. Scott McLaughlin and Will Power and Scott Dixon are also right there. Felix Rosenqvist, like, it's going to be a battle for second this year. That's going to be very entertaining.
Just like last year. Yeah, Alex Palou is almost 100 points ahead before the Indy 500.
He could DNF and still be almost a full race winner.
It's honestly kind of a shame that the Indy 500 doesn't give double points anymore. Because
if
honestly
he crashed,
I feel like that's legitimately one of the few places where drivers could catch up to him.
Well, yeah, I mean, essentially the only way... Yeah, if it gave double points, he could crash out early on in the race, and then Kyle Kirkwood or Christian Lundgaard or Pato O'Ward would have to win, and then he would be like 3 points behind in the championship.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy how far ahead he is. But that is not the case. We no longer give double points for the Indy 500, which, say what you want about that, I kind of actually miss that.
I do too.
I think I didn't like it the first season, and then now that it's gone, I'm like,
I kind
oh.
of get it now.
Yeah, I know. It's like, oh, let's make this race really important. I mean, it takes the entire month of May. There's 8 practices. Like, yeah, no, double points makes a lot of sense.
It's so, kind of cool. Especially, now as a catch-up mechanic for a driver who maybe isn't quite as strong on ovals as some of the people who are chasing him.
Can really shake things up halfway through the season. It's, yeah.
Scott McLaughlin getting extra.
Bring it back.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Formula One and the Emilia Magna Grand Prix, otherwise known as Imola. I did get the right track map for this one.
Nice.
Yeah.
To be honest, I wouldn't have noticed. I would have noticed for IMS, but this one?
No. This is the track that I forget every year, and then it's kind of there, which is crazy because of how historic it is. But
yeah, it's technically Ferrari's home race, right?
Monza, I think, is their home race. But anyway, qualifying top 10, we had Piastri on pole position, followed by Verstappen and Russell. 4th and 5th were Norris and Alonso. 6th through 10 were Sainz, Albon, Stroll, Hadjar, and Gasly. So we had 2 Aston Martins in the top 10, which will become irrelevant later. moving into the race, Verstappen passed Piastri into turn 1 with the most spectacular move I've ever seen around the outside. Verstappen then pulled away quickly at the beginning of the race with a huge gap. Piastri opted for a 2-stop race while Norris and Verstappen went long on a 1-stop. Well, that was the plan anyway.
Well,
Ocon had a technical issue that caused him to stop by the side of the track about halfway through the race. Spring, it brought out a VSC at the perfect time for Verstappen to pit. 1 lap after Norris pit under green flag conditions. Could not have been more perfect for Verstappen. A late safety car for Antonelli's car failure allowed Verstappen to pit again for free. And then Hamilton also took advantage of both safety car periods to make his way up to P4 by the end of the race after an atrocious qualifying. So, Verstappen won by a lot. He had that race under control the entire time.
Yeah.
That, I will say, that move into turn, well, I guess it was turn 2, because there's that kink at the beginning of the straight and
the corner complex.
Yes, the corner, the chicane.
Yes,
that one. Verstappen,
that was pretty cool.
That was a crazy move. If you haven't seen it, I don't know why you haven't seen it, but go watch it. It's a very good move. I don't know. Like, I was watching the race live, and I just saw it happen, and I was like, that didn't just happen.
Yeah.
Because Piastri was about 2 car lengths ahead of Verstappen, and then Verstappen
just
like,
speed.
I'm going to carry way more speed than you into this corner and make it stick and not go off the track.
Yeah, I've been learning. I've been testing. This time I will stay in bounds.
Yeah. No, it looks like Oscar had that start in the bag. Verstappen got a bad start. Almost was passed by Russell, but then he's just like, no, I'm just going to roll around the chicane at 180 miles an hour no problem. So very good overtake.
Yep, and then we never saw him again.
Never saw Verstappen again. It was actually a pretty entertaining race. There was quite a bit of passing in the midfield.
Yeah.
So I thought
seeing the pit strategies. Actually, there, having to see the tire dig and watch people play games with that.
Absolutely.
All it took was two safety cars.
Yes, two safety cars, but also, I mean, there would have been a split strategy anyway.
Yeah.
I think Pirelli needs to learn from this, that they just need to always go softer tires. Like, make strategy a thing.
Yeah.
It made a good race out of a race that's usually not that entertaining. So, Pirelli, please learn from this. Please make softer tires in 26. Bring back refueling.
Bring back refueling in the ultra softs.
Turn F1 into IndyCar.
Yeah.
There you go.
IndyCar, but with big batteries.
Yes, exactly. All right. So, results of the race, Verstappen, followed by Norris and Piastri on the podium. Fourth and fifth were Hamilton and Albon. 6 through 10 were Leclerc, Russell, Sainz, Hadjar, and Tsunoda. Tsunoda started last after crashing in qualifying, and pretty good recovery from him to score a point.
That was a crazy crash, too.
Yes. Fernando Alonso finished 0.8 seconds out of the points in P11 after starting fifth. They decided to go for the two-stop strategy, and it did not work out super well for them. Lance Stroll finished 15th. Yeah, not great stuff. Verstappen is still in the championship picture for sure. I don't think we're ever going to be able to count him out of this championship. I thought after last race, like, Oscar probably has this in the bag, unless Lando can figure out his mental block, whatever that is. But then I look at the points totals after this race, and I'm like, Max Verstappen is still in this.
He's still here.
And it seems like the Red Bull is improving.
Yeah.
So Max Verstappen could very well take his fifth championship this year. I think it's still going to be close, but
it'll be his most impressive championship.
Oh, 100. If he does. It'll be battling for 21 for sure.
Yeah.
We'll not go into that too deeply.
How often can we really?
It's been long enough. So let's continue. Tsunoda definitely struggling in that Red Bull. He's scoring points, which is more than Lawson did, but still way off of Max's pace. I don't think he's finished above like 9th.
Yeah.
So he's not the Red Bull savior that they were hoping for, I don't think.
And I don't think anybody did anybody really expect him to be right there with Max?
I don't think so. I mean, at this point, he doesn't even look bad for this. It's just Red Bull looks bad now. The only thing that they could do to make themselves look worse is to swap Hadjar in.
send Yuki back to...
Yeah. I mean, there's already those rumors going around that they're going to swap Hadjar in. I don't see that happening. That's not going to happen. Tsunoda's going to be in the car until the end of the year. Then maybe they swap Hadjar in. They'll get Lindblad into the RB next year. I don't know. I just don't think anyone could drive that car except for Max until they fix it. But 2026, new regs, so maybe they'll fix it.
Yeah, maybe every car will be undrivable. Then it won't matter.
That's the rumor right now. Yeah. That you're going to have to shift down in the straights.
They'll be slower, less reliable, and harder to drive.
Yes, that's what we're hearing so far. Hey, maybe that'll make things more entertaining. Maybe not, though. Aston Martin and clinched defeat from the jaws of victory this week.
It was a close one, too.
Yeah, they looked great in qualifying. They looked super fast in qualifying. They brought upgrades this week. We're very excited about it. The upgrades appeared to work, but...
They must have taken them off.
They must have taken them off. At the pit stop, during the pit stop.
Yeah, save them for qualifyings only.
Yes. So, maybe qualifying's back, Aston Martin's back in it, but race pace-wise, they've still got work to do. I just want Alonso to score a point. You can tell the man is like, battling depression right now on that
car. He's in like 2013 McLaren era.
Oh, he really is. You can start seeing it come out in the radio. Yeah. The radio calls.
He's kind of like, angry.
Yeah. It's like, this is not it. But they did talk about Monaco several times. Aston Martin did over the course of the weekend. So I think they're very excited for Monaco. If their qualifying pace truly is that much better. I mean, if they can qualify a top 10 in Monaco, chances are they'll finish top 10 in Monaco.
Yeah.
Unless, well, not go
Let's
there.
Let's not bet too much.
And then I guess we could talk about Hadjar, but I don't know.
We could also talk about all the crashes this weekend. We didn't really touch on them in IndyCar, but
there were a lot of crashes.
There were three in IndyCar, two overturns. Yeah. Right?
And Herta then. And, well,
Armstrong?
Armstrong did flip. And then Christian Rasmussen crashed.
Scotty Mac.
Scotty Mac crashed, almost flipped.
Yeah.
Didn't. Takuma Sato crashed a couple of weeks ago during the first practice. He had like a 52G impact into the wall or something like that. And then someone else crashed today, right? I think somebody might have been Rasmussen again. Everyone's talking
Kiffin
about
Simpson.
Kiffin Simpson.
You're gonna say that.
Days ago. Yeah. Lots of crashes in IndyCar as of late. There was another one today, I'm pretty sure, though.
Yeah. I don't even know if I find it. I don't think I'm going to.
Yeah.
And then, Yuki's big crash.
Then Yuki had a huge crash in qualifying. Ended up airborne, upside down, over the wall. Very reminiscent of the Guanyu crash from a couple years ago. He was fine. Car was not.
Yeah.
So they rebuilt his car.
Had to bring in the backup car.
Yeah. And then he had a pretty good race. So not too bad, not too terribly horrible, but definitely rode off that car. That's for sure. So one less car for Tsunoda. Probably one less power unit, one less gearbox. All the things that you kind of need a lot of to make it through a season without penalties.
I mean, it was pretty much getting to the point where you'd want to replace them anyways, right? So,
hopefully he didn't just do that.
He did just do it.
All right, so championship standings. Oscar Piastri is still in first place at 146 points, followed by Lando Norris at 133, and Max Verstappen at 124. So Verstappen is only 22 points off the championship lead, which is a Piastri DNF and a Max Verstappen win, which could very well happen. So, still very much in it. George Russell at 99 points. Probably not in the championship hunt for very much longer. But definitely up there. And then the Ferraris at 61 and 53. Definitely not going to win the championship this year. We still have five drivers. Four who are still driving who have not scored any points this season.
Love seeing the three pink drivers.
Alonso, Lawson, Doohan, Bortoleto, and Colapinto are yet to score points.
Poor Alonso. Stuck with the rookies.
I can't believe Liam Lawson has still not scored a point. Still.
Yeah.
And Hadjar has... Well, okay. Hadjar only has seven, but it feels like he has a lot more than that. It feels like he's done a lot better. Anyway, Alex Albon at 40 points in eighth place. Just saying.
Absolutely mega. That's crazy.
Guy is crazy.
Especially since Sainz is 11.
Yeah.
Granted, he binned his first two races, but still.
Yeah, it's... I mean, Sainz, I think, has been on Albon's pace the last race or two. I think he's starting to figure the car out. Albon's still very consistent, though. I think Sainz has just gotten kind of unlucky with pits and stuff in the last couple races, but he's figured the car out, which is very good for him. My prediction of him doubling Albon's points this season is not looking too great, though. All right. Constructors. McLaren is way out in front with 279. Mercedes has 147. Red Bull has 131. Then Ferrari has 114. Then this big drop to Williams at 51. So not even really close anywhere. Maybe kind of close for second, but not really.
Yeah, surely the points will not get worse if they remove the cost cap.
Why would they remove the cost cap?
You didn't hear that rumor?
Are they talking about removing the cost cap? Is that a thing? I didn't hear about this. For the record, I really hope that they...
Following statements from MBS, he said that it was a headache and he did not see the point in having it.
We need to get this guy out of the sport. This is, the cost cap is the best thing to happen to the sport in so long. All right, MBS.
Granted, that was just from... That was just him saying things, but...
Well, he says a lot of things, but he also does a lot of things that are not great.
Yeah.
Carlos Sainz Sr. has been rumored to become the new candidate for FIA presidency, and boy, do I hope that happens. I would rather have somebody who has some sort of ties to an actual driver than MBS.
Somebody who doesn't just say that I was a rally driver.
I think Carlos Sainz Sr. would make a fantastic FIA president. More so than Susie Wolf. Because he was a driver. He's a legendary driver. He's got a reputation that he doesn't want to ruin by being a bad FIA president.
Yeah.
The guy's a legend in rally. So I think he'd make a great president. He's kind of past his racing years. He's an old man now. But I think he'd do a great job. So my vote's for Carlos Sainz
Sr. Him versus Sebastian Vettel. Who do you vote for?
Ooh. I'd vote for him, actually. I'd vote for Vettel? Sainz, no, Sainz Sr.
Yeah,
over,
me too.
Over Vettel.
I mostly just wouldn't want Vettel to have to go through that. He's Vettel, too young.
Yes. I also would be concerned about... Well, this is going to get a little too
political.
I think Vettel might go a little too deep in the paint on the environmentally friendly stuff, which is fine, but I don't think we need to be taking steps backwards in terms of power and entertainment value versus... I mean, we already have carbon neutral fuels coming. We've already got this focus on electrification. I think Carlos Sainz Sr. would be a better president. I'm going to leave it at that. I think Seb would also be good, though, but I would rather see Carlos Sainz Sr. in that role.
That's fair.
All right.
Not to put you on the spot or anything like that.
Me arguing environment. Okay, we're going to not touch that.
It's a racing. When it comes down to it, it's a racing series. And if they wanted to really save the environment, they would stop doing it.
Yes.
So, or they would just do it in Europe. Or yes and, yes and, yes and. So.
Well, they are taking steps to make it carbon neutral, which I think is good. We get to carbon neutral. If we can still have combustion engines and be carbon neutral, solid. Great stuff. Let's not try to go carbon negative or whatever that's called. Carbon positive, I guess? No.
Maybe carbon negative.
Carbon negative. We don't need to go crazy.
In like the 2012 era where Tesla was just selling CAFE credits to other automakers so they could be more green.
Yeah. All right. Pit Stop Championship, top 10. We had Leclerc in first place with a time of 2.04, followed by Tsunoda and Verstappen. Fourth and fifth were Lawson and Norris. Then we had Hamilton, Bortoleto, Russell, Hajar, Antonelli rounding off the top 10.
Some decently quick stops this weekend.
Yes, indeed. Standings, nothing much has changed. Leclerc has taken the lead from Lewis Hamilton.
There's a huge gap between Russell and Antonelli.
Yes.
That's weird.
Probably just because Russell's better at hitting his spots.
Mm.
So, that would be my guess. Or, I don't know.
Maybe they hate Antonelli.
Could be. Seems unlikely, but could be. I like that theory, Ben. All right. Overtake of the week. I give this to Verstappen for his overtake on Piastri. Could have gone to Graham Rahal for his overtake on Palou. I think the Verstappen one was
made more insane of an impact on the race.
Oh, yes.
And you have to consider all factors when looking at the overtake of the week.
Indeed, yes. Let's move into our predictions, Ben. Last week at the Indy GP, pole position went to Alex Palou. What did you say?
I had Colton Herta.
I had Scott Dixon. Neither of us got that one. Podium was Palou, Ward, and Power. What did you say?
I had Palou, Herta, and Dixon.
I had Lundgaard, Palou, and Herta. Hurt is letting us down.
Yeah. Yeah. Bro's not even going to get the F1 at this point.
Yeah, right. All right. Winning number of pit stops was 3. What'd you say, Ben?
It was 3.
I had 2. Once again, you take the point on that one.
Yep.
Moving on to Formula 1 and the Imola Grand Prix. To remind everybody, the top 5, it was Verstappen, Norris, Piastri, Hamilton, and Albon. What did you say, Ben?
I had Piastri, Norris, Russell, Antonelli, and Verstappen with Bearman as my dark horse. So I got Norris in the placement, but aside from that, it was fairly atypical.
Yep. I had Piastri, Verstappen, Norris, Antonelli, and Sainz with Ocon as my dark horse. Not a great week for me.
Not a great week for the Haas boys.
Nope.
At least you had Verstappen a little closer to the first place than I did.
True. Yeah, I got the top 3 right, just in the wrong order.
Yeah.
Fastest lap went to Verstappen. What'd you say?
I had Piastri.
I had Norris. And all 3 of them held it at some point during the race.
Yeah.
Driver of the day was Verstappen. What'd you say?
Piastri.
I said Sainz.
I'm really sounding like a fanboy this weekend.
Yes.
Piastri will win. I bet he'll get fastest lap. I bet he'll get driver of the day.
Verstappen did all 3 of those instead.
Yeah. At least he got pole.
Yes. All right. Indy 500 predictions. Pole position. We have already done our predictions, and it has already happened. So, pole position went to Robert Schwartzman.
Never would have ever guessed that in a million years.
Rookie from Israel and Russia, which has caused no controversy in the Instagram comments.
Hush now.
Yeah, the guy who used to be a Formula One prospect. He was a reserve driver for Ferrari forever.
Oh, yeah,
he was.
Yeah.
I think an F2 winner. Then he went to Indy Next, and then eventually IndyCar. Racing for Prema in their first year, just goes out and takes pole position by like 0.4 of a mile an hour, which doesn't sound like a lot, but is a lot in Indy 500 qualifying. I believe it was 233.7 miles per hour on average over the course of 4 laps.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're going 200, almost 234 miles an hour, would you want to go another half a mile an hour faster? I wouldn't.
No, yeah. So yes, he takes pole position for the big one. What did you predict, Ben?
I had Dixon for this one.
I had Power, who was starting at the back because he cheated, so feels bad,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, Penske.
Yeah, thanks, Penske.
At least we made the podiums after all the news came out.
Yes. Podium, what do you got, Ben?
I've got Dixon McLaughlin, who was the Penske boy who didn't get it, as we discussed. He got an accident, and that probably saved his career.
Saved his race.
Yeah, and Rosenqvist.
Yes. I have Ward, Ericsson, and Rosenqvist. This year's Pato's year. I'm gonna say it now. This year's the year that he's gonna actually not drop to second on the last lap of the race.
Ericsson was a bold choice, too.
Ericsson has won this race, and he almost won it again a couple of years ago. Then he, I think, crashed out last season. But, I mean, it's real easy to crash in this race. So, I think Ericsson has a shot. If he's going to win a race this year, it'll be this one.
It'll be this one. That makes sense. That's fair.
Winning number of pit stops. What do you got, Ben?
I've got 9.
I have 7. It'll probably be 8.
Yep.
lots of pit stops for those of you who are unaware. It is a 200 lap race. Don't get this wrong this year, Ben. It's 500 miles.
500 laps. 1,000 miles.
500 miles, 200 laps. Very long race. But I actually really enjoy it. This is my favorite oval to watch for, wow. Iowa.
Jinx.
Yeah.
Iowa's so good, dude.
Iowa is pretty solid.
And Texas. I actually really like Texas, too.
I wish they bring Texas back. Yeah. Texas Motor Speedway.
Texas and Iowa.
Very good.
Bangers.
Yeah. I mean, you should start watching NASCAR. No.
Who has time for that? I'm trying to buy a BMW, Nathan. I don't have time to watch NASCAR.
To watch Freedom Racing.
I need to make poor financial decisions.
Yes. All right. Formula One Monaco Grand Prix. Give me your top 5, Ben.
I've got Norris, Piastri, Verstappen, Russell, and Antonelli with Sainz as my dark horse.
I have Verstappen, Norris, Piastri, Hamilton, and Albon with Alonso as my dark horse.
Alonso.
I mean, nice.
Really banking on that quali result.
They were hyped about Monaco before even the Imola race, so I'm going to choose to believe them, which may or may not be a good
Adrian
choice.
Adrian Newey will be doing the pit stops himself.
Guido style. All right, fastest lap, what do you got?
I've got Norris for this one.
I've got Verstappen, driver of the day, what do you got?
Norris.
I have Albon.
Same strategy as last weekend.
Yes.
Just whoever's in first might get fastest lap and might get driver of the day.
You're the McLaren fanboy, not me.
No. No. Not.
All right. It's okay. I chose Pato Award to win the 500 because I'm not in denial.
After watching him choke for the past 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Ben, you got any words of wisdom for us this week?
Yes. It is wearing gloves to do work season outside and inside. And I just want to remind people of when to wear gloves and when to not. When to wear gloves is when you're doing yard work and moving branches and stuff like that. When not to wear gloves is when working with fast rotating machinery next to your hands. So if you're like using a power drill or like a bandsaw or a sander or a grinder or a lathe, please don't wear gloves. I've seen so many freshmen in college and some other not as vocationally adept grad students at the place where I work try to use gloves when they're working on stuff, and it's terrifying. Gloves are great for when you're picking up blackberries and branches and using a chainsaw. But yeah, just you don't always have to wear gloves for everything. And so you can wear like nitrile gloves. You don't want to get your hands super dirty, but girls are kind of into it if you have like super greasy hands right here. I don't actually know.
But why are you looking at me?
I don't know. I thought you might have insight too.
I'm the guy that wears nitrile gloves when I change my oil, so.
That's fair. Not like
you
me.
You didn't hear that. I'm not putting that on the internet.
I drink it.
Drink it.
A little sip. But yeah, gloves are great outside, and then just like taking care of your gloves, like wearing the right gloves for that situation. Like leather gloves are great for grabbing stuff, you need something rugged, but they're not great when it's wet because they get slippery, and using cut resistant gloves and yeah, all that stuff.
Good for welding. I know this.
Yes.
Don't weld without gloves, actually.
You can. It's fun. It gives you like a little sunburn.
This is not legal advice.
So warm.
So warm. Alrighty, everybody. Thank you, everybody, so much for watching and listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, leave a like or rating on the platform you listen on. It really helps us out. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar or F1, you can check our website out, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on Twitter, YouTube, anywhere in DMs, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, everywhere at RevHang Media. We'll be back in just a short week on Memorial Day. Well, the day after is when you'll see it. But I don't know what your plans are for Memorial Day.
Sleeping in.
Okay, we'll be back at some point after Memorial Day to talk about the Indy 500 and the Monaco Grand Prix after many beers and hot dogs.
Indeed.
But until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.